Christ the past and the living and perfect truth. The soul of Nazareth, even in 100,000 years it tells us. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. The place that we're on in How to Grow Lotus Blossom in the series of talks I'm doing is called The Spirit Rises to Greet the Lord. In her description of what happened, Reverend Master pretty well sticks to the purely factual and doesn't attempt to explain the meaning of what is happening. It will become clear as we go on in the book that the meaning is explained in much as it can be explained in some detail in its various aspects. I've been making some general observations at this point on what I call the great circulation, the process, the spiritual process in which the spiritual need and the help of the eternal come together. I've been, throughout these talks, emphasizing the precepts talk, which will do that and hopefully shed a little more light on the whole process. Imagine for a moment, if you would, kind of circular flow of light, liquid, whatever. Imagine in your mind's eye this kind of donut shape in which this flow is going round and round and round. In my mind, it's always golden. Now imagine at the very bottom of this circle there's an inlet with a little inlet valve. The idea is that something can come in at this inlet. But similarly, when the valve is open, something can go out also. Again, this is down at the bottom. Now imagine that you have down at that point at the bottom, you have, say, a bunch of little like little billiard balls or something. Each one of them represents a chunk of jangled, pained, confused karmic need, the karmically inherited need. this one's a chunk of anger, that one's grief, that one is delusion. Over here there's externalized longing. They're lined up down there. They need to get, in order to get the help, they need to get into that flow. So we need to open the valve and let them in to the flow. When you open your heart in meditation, when you spiritually look up, when you sit still, open your heart, look up, then one of these can pop up in through the valve and start circulating around, start getting its help. But suppose you do the opposite. Suppose instead of opening your heart, you harden your heart. Suppose instead of looking up, you look down spiritually. You willfully give in to despair. You look on the dark side and kind of keep your gaze focused there when you could look on the positive side of things. Then when you do that, not only does one of the little balls of need not get up into the circulating flow, but some of what is circulating there and that is potentially helpful can leak down through the valve and scatter itself outwards. And so the strength of the flow is weakened and its potential to help is reduced. Not its absolute potential, because nothing can affect that. But you might say it's more proximate, relative potential. You know, merit is reduced when we break the precepts. Here's the technical term for this. When the process is working as it's meant to work in the context of meditation and the precepts, it's called the return or backward flowing. That means that the flow, it doesn't mean backwards in the sense of back against or antagonistic to our true nature. Rather, it means returning to our true nature. I always thought the word backwards was a little awkward. Return was better. The return flow. The returning, the karmic need to that which will enlighten it, that which will save it, in the true sense of what salvation really is, which is genuine conversion and realization of the truth of the eternal, and washing and bathing in the love of the eternal. This then can happen. This is called the return flowing. When there is the looking down, when there is the breakage of the precepts, there is what is called the outward flowing. The scattering outwards. At one point in the Denkoroku, in the either in the first or second, I think it's probably the second chapter of the Denkaroku, Keizan says, only when you concentrate your mind will Buddhas appear. Only when you concentrate your mind will Buddhas appear. This doesn't mean mental concentration in the way the world would think of it. It means only when you deeply meditate and you're bringing your thoughts, your speech, your actions into the protective limitations of the precepts. Hummel said protective custody. And in a way, that's the good way to put it. We put ourselves in protective custody of the precepts. Only then can the meditation deepen. We have to settle down. We have to calm down. We have to focus inwards. We have to open our heart to the Eternal, look up, and let the Eternal help us. This is the return flowing. You see, this whole process of the contemplative life, the deepest spiritual longings and aspirations have to be built, allowed to develop upon the foundation of taking the precepts to heart. Not as an external moral code, the taking of the precepts to heart by taking the true spirit of the precepts as the focus of one's daily effort. And what is the true spirit of the precepts? In Hamlet, I don't quote Shakespeare very much, and for good reason. There's not much in Shakespeare you could quote from the point of view of religion. But in Hamlet, the character Polonius gives the advice, to thine own self be true, and thou canst not be false to any man. Taken at the deepest level, if this is understood at the deepest level, to thine own true self be true. That is the spirit of the precepts. To be true to our own true nature in our thought, speech, and action. In order to do that, we need the letter of the precepts. And we need the letter of the precepts understood and appreciated in a compassionate way, not in a rigid, forced way. Or strident way. And we need it understood with humility, not with the pride that could so easily come in when we've done some training and we look upon the actions of others with dissatisfaction. What other people do is their business. They make their karma, I make mine. What I do is my business. My job in training is to be true to my own true heart. Whether other people do or not is not in the least my problem. And I only hurt myself if I worry or criticize. To give one's life to the return flowing unreservedly has always been viewed in Buddhism and in all contemplative religion as the highest life. And those who do this need always to remember that it is enough for each of us individually to do it for ourselves. That what others do is entirely their business. If we train ourselves truly, the merits of our training will be spread by the Eternal in the Eternal's own good way. All we need to do is do our very finest job we can of reharmonizing with our own true nature.